Well, we've anticipated this day for a long time. I'm not talking about the new translation. It's Advent. Advent, which is literally the new year of the church. And what a wonderful time to emphasize a new translation, which kind of raises our own consciousness about what we do. Don't worry, I've already made a couple mistakes myself in the responses that are given, and it'll take time in order for us to develop the same type of patterns that we did with the former translation. But what it does do is it pulls us out of this situation at this time and tells us to examine what we're doing, to take a look at the most important aspect of our lives, which is our worship of our God. And I say that without hesitancy. The most important aspect in our lives, which is the worship of our God. We acknowledge our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of the Mass, and we do so in terms of worship, giving praise to a God who is among us. And oftentimes in our secular world, we push that aside, the understanding of the impact of God in our lives. We make that God a routine. We place him in our lives as something we grab hold of when we need God, but not necessarily acknowledging the God who stands before us and is the ground of our very being in everything that we do. So this is really a wonderful time for all of us to heighten our consciousness. But this is also the first Sunday of Advent. As most of you know, I'm a flatlander. You know that. Born and raised in Chicago. And those in Wisconsin refer to those people as flatlanders, as well as you should, because it is just flat. The whole territory there is flat. When I was a boy growing up, there was an advertisement on television. And it was kind of an interesting advertisement. And at that time, as a boy growing up, I couldn't differentiate necessarily between the truth that was purported on television and commercials. And there was a commercial where that they're depicted this very wealthy man, a Commodore, and he made a statement saying, "I'm going to bring a mountain to Chicago." Oh my gosh. A flatlander would now have a mountain. Can you imagine what that did to the psyche of all the young people? And this commercial ran maybe for about 3 weeks. Well, in that 3 week period of time, people would gather together, young people, obviously, not the adults, but the young people would gather together and speculate where the mountain would take place. Would it be on the south side? Would it be on the north side? On the west side? And how were they going to do it? They're bringing all these dump trucks? Were they going to bring in all this land? It was going to be a landfill? But my gosh, it would be a mountain. And we would finally have a mountain. A flatlander would have a mountain. At the end of the 3 weeks, the Commodore came on and boldly proclaimed he was bringing a mountain to Chicago, Folgers Mountain Grown Coffee. What a terrible disappointment. But for 3 weeks, we were allowed to dream and to plan what we were going to do with our mountain, where it was going to be, how it was going to affect our lives. We were able to dream and to plan. When we take a look at Advent, the church takes us back to a period of time when the promise to Israel was given. And that promise that a Messiah would be sent. And so now all the prophets from that point on challenge the community to dream and to plan. To dream about this Messiah. To plan for this Messiah. And to understand the impact that this would make in terms of our God's relationship to us. But of course, we know historically that Advent did occur. And so the church takes us back and we look at those readings in the prophets. We look at the readings from the Old Testament, the anticipation of this Messiah who would come. The liturgical Advent is one Advent that we celebrate. The second Advent is the Advent that's proclaimed in the Gospel and the one that we hear from our Lord. And it is true because as we listen to the readings, God is faithful. And he promises to come again. And he'll come at a time when we least expect it. And so our task is to be faithful in response to a faithful God, to listen to the sacred scriptures, to prepare ourselves in terms of penance, to understand it is our sinfulness that caused the rift to begin with, and it is our sinfulness that still separates us from our God in a true and unique way. And so there is a need to acknowledge that penance. There is a need to acknowledge our sinfulness, to accept our penance, to reform our lives, and to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. But now this coming of the Messiah is his second coming for us. And so therefore, we must fulfill those aspects that are necessary in terms of charitable works, in terms of prayer, in terms of our attention to our God in our lives, so that we do have and we do express that faithfulness. So the second aspect of Advent is the fact that he's going to return. And don't worry about the time. It'll be at a time that God appoints, not ours. So we don't worry about the time. What we worry about is being faithful. What we worry about is responding to what God has challenged us to do through his Son, Jesus Christ, to live fully this life. And then I tell you, brothers and sisters, there is a third Advent. And that Advent is significant for all of us. And it's significant for all of us because it is the fact that our Lord will come to us individually and personally. That we will be called to him, accountable in terms of our own judgment. That death will come to us. And so therefore we have to, in a very special way, we have to heighten our relationship with our God, because that Advent will come to us personally. We'll be called before God. We will stand accountable before him. We don't like to hear that in our secular world. We don't like to hear that we're going to be accountable for what we do. But as you listen to the sacred scriptures, as you listen to the readings, you know that it is the Lord who has fashioned you for service to himself, to give him glory. So our question has to be, are we doing that? Are we responding in that particular way to give glory to him? Are we responsive to the Lord Jesus Christ and the love in our life and sharing that love with others? If you knew when the Master would return, what would you be about? You'd be about his work. There's no doubt about it. You would be about his work. So that the Master would look at us and give praise for the fact that we were responsive to what the Master called us to do. And the uniqueness of it is that it is not one particular way or manner. It is the manner given to you in your own particular fashion. God is the potter. He has formed us. And as he has formed us, he has singled out your relationship to him in a unique way. Only you can be the person that our God has called you to be. I can't be it. I have to be who I am. You have to be who you are. We are called and brought together in community to praise our God, but the uniqueness of your being is called to an individual holiness before God, and it is your responsibility and our responsibility to fulfill that uniqueness. To be the great fathers, the great husbands, mothers, wives, to be the wonderful examples of single life, of religious life, of priesthood, of consecrated life. All forming that body of Christ, all forming that body of Christ, so that when God has called us from this world in that third Advent, we're ready to respond to him as faithful servants. Advent is a time that we heighten our anticipation and expectations. It's a time when we dream and we plan. Advent is a time given to us. So don't rush to Christmas. Please, don't rush to Christmas. Give yourself the time to dwell in a relationship with God so that at Christmas you truly appreciate what a generous God we have in sharing the love of His Son. And understanding through Advent, we have the time to prepare by sharing His love with others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.